My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the duck feed show about Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, and El Camino.
Yeah. And we're in full swing, folks. We're talking about Crawl Space.
Mm-hmm. Looking down the barrel of end times. And then actual end times.
Yeah. For the season, anyway. For one particular person.
Yes. Two particular people.
Ah, true.
Yeah.
Three. Because, you know. Three.
And untold old people. Yeah. So this is a big episode. This is written by Sam Catlin, George Mastris, directed by Scott Winant, and originally aired September 25th, 2011.
Yeah. And this picks up, shortly after Gus's coup against Don Eladio's cartel.
In the time of a drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Jesse rushes his boss and Mike to this makeshift hospital to recover. Gus won.
Yeah. Gus won. And with, the cartel out of the way, he's no longer doing a war on two fronts. He can focus on his next threat, which is Hank's investigation of the operation, the looming threat that is Walt.
Mm-hmm.
And Walt suddenly no longer being useful causes Walt to panic. rightly so. This episode, we get introduced to a new minor character, but one who has consistency mm-hmm. between the two series, which I like, which is Barry Goodman, Gus's Mexican doctor.
Mm-hmm.
By which you're down in Mexico, not just calling out a nationality out of nowhere. Played by JB Blanc, who is a big video game and anime voice actor.
I love this guy.
He's really good.
Yeah, I don't know. Just incredibly charismatic and big on screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Less shady than the vet.
Mm-hmm. I like the vet too. I don't know.
The vet too, but he's grody. He seems like a dealer. He has dealer energy.
Little bit.
Yeah.
But you know, he does love the animals. I will talk about Caldera when we get there. Yeah. Like it's weird not having a lot of preamble, but like, there's not a lot of production trivia here. Like there's just a bunch of important shit that happens.
All the production trivia will be in the last episode of the season
mm-hmm.
where it's all about like the documentary you can watch about how they did that effect.
Yeah.
This is just, we're ramping up. Mm-hmm. We're in finale mode. It's great. And we start right in the action. Doctors are quickly prepping an operating room in a tent, medical warehouse here. The main doctor gets a call and goes outside to see Jesse honking his horn and pulling up to him.
Yeah.
Just absolutely going nuts.
Yeah. And the doctors rush in and they take away Gus, but Mike is just sitting in the front seat, bleeding out of his gut.
Yep. So Jesse walks Mike in and Mike is bleeding bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like a big pile of blood falls out of his pant leg.
Yeah.
You know, Jesse's trying to get Mike, some attention here, lays him down on his own little table as, the other doctors are doing a transfusion on Gus. He shouts out, this man needs help.
Mm-hmm.
Comprende this guy. And the doctor, speaking English, turns to him and says, this man pays my salary.
Yeah.
Gotta do Gus first.
It's the arrangement. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Walt's back at the lab, completely unaware of any of this happening. Intentionally so. He has been kept in the dark about this, and he is weighing the bins of meth alone, with Tyrus watching.
Yeah. He asks if the others are back yet. Tyrus doesn't answer. He reweighs the bins and has a slightly different figure there. Tyrus, Walt starts talking to Tyrus, just being like, listen, Hank is going out to the chicken farm.
Mm-hmm.
I've delayed him as long as I can. Is it clean?
Yeah.
And Tyrus is just icing him.
Yeah. Which is the standard Tyrus mode.
Yeah. And the standard Walt operating procedure at this point as well.
Right. Words are ammo. Yeah.
Yeah.
So later on, Hank is looking at the farm. He's taking it out from a distance, and nothing suspicious is happening. Mm-hmm. And Walt's getting impatient, asking, all the time, what's the next step? What are we going to do?
Yeah. And Hank, our next three moves is sitting here and waiting. This is the job. Again, parallels with Mike.
Yes.
Walt says, hey, has there been any cartel news recently? And he's like, I've heard rumblings of a big play in Mexico, lots of bodies, but I don't know who.
Yeah.
At this point, Walt has been stewing in the guilt he's felt over telling Jesse to die in a Mexican grave.
Yeah.
this entire time, you know, he's really had to sit with it. You know, he makes these impulsive, horrible, monstrous statements and then has to stew in them.
Yeah. Oh. And, you know, his entire status like is up in the air. A, his best, you know, best friend, his
family.
Yeah. His family. Yeah. Could be dead. But also, what happens if Gus is dead?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, what do we do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really nasty stuff.
Yeah. Hank doesn't want to talk about that. Hank wants to watch the factory farm and also wants to ask Walt about the bruises on his face, because Walt is still beat up physically from his fight with Jesse.
Yeah. Yep. You know, he's like, hey, do you think we're not going to talk about that? My brother-in-law comes up, you know, shows up looking like Macho Camacho. I had to look up who that is.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard the name before. Goofy name.
Famous boxer.
Famous boxer. Sounds like a punch out guy. you know, and then says, you know, if you're over your head on something, don't you think I'd be the guy to talk to? Which is very funny.
It is.
Yeah. You know, and Hank starts trying to relate to him. This is Hank being a good brother-in-law.
Yeah.
I have a soft spot for this whenever this happens. You know, listen, like I had a co-worker. He's addicted to those scratchers. You know, mm-hmm. I understand it can be really hard. I just want to let you know I'm here for you if you want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And Walt says, I don't want to talk about it to you or anyone else. I'm done explaining myself.
Yeah.
You're not.
Nope.
You're going to do that for most of the rest of the series still, but I understand the you know, the urge.
Yeah. His two moves are explaining himself and imposing, imposing himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jesse's waiting anxiously, you know, in the medical tent. Some time has passed and Mike has been patched up. You know, he's getting more blood, but the bag is about emptying out. And he asks the doctor, like, hey, you know, does he need more? And the doctor says, well, if you think he needs more, go and get it yourself, and points him over to this fridge, and showing Gus's advanced planning and also like privacy invading powers.
Yes. It's weird to know someone else's blood type.
Yes.
Like we've been podcasting for a long time. I have no idea what your blood type is.
Yeah. Which is weird because I don't know. What if I need a kidney shipped here from Portland?
Yeah, like sample after sample, and it just keeps coming up non-conclusive.
Yeah.
You know, he says, yeah, he reads off the stats
mm-hmm.
on Jesse. You know, Jesse grabs his own blood bag. You know, he knows his blood type, his height, his weight, the fact that he's an addict.
Yeah.
You know, all these things. This is when we first see Mike's last name,
mm-hmm.
Ermentrout. Perfect last name. That name shows up in an X-Files episode as in the credits. And one of the things that I realized in, you know, rewatching X-Files and watching this show is that one of the low-key best things about Vince Gilligan
mm-hmm.
is when he needs a name, a character, he just takes an unusual name he's heard
mm-hmm.
somewhere before that is real. He doesn't go, you know, this is John Christman. Because of the symbology.
Right.
Like he doesn't do that bullshit.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is Richard Icarus.
Yeah.
You know, the CEO of Daedalus Corpse. Like yes. he doesn't, you know, he doesn't do that bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It makes everything feel so much better. Mike Ermentrout feels like such a better and more real character than like, you know, Johnny Blackview.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you know, anything like that. Like Bright Eyes. Yeah, it's just irritating writer tricks that make me so fucking mad.
I do agree with you. We do have a main character named Walter White specifically because he starts out incredibly bland.
We do.
Yeah,
we do. But that's early on.
Uh-huh.
And then later, you know, this guy could have been way worse.
Yes.
I'm just saying you see where he got the name.
Yeah.
I saw where he got the name. It was a crew member on the X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like that's great.
I agree with everything you say, and that is cool, and that is the way to do it.
This is Walter White is on two on the nose.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
yeah. It's the only real bad one.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's listing out the you know the medical facts. You know, just including this antibiotic allergy. You know, Jesus, he thought of everything. He's like, and when he's listing the stats, he's like, yeah, you know, your blood type A negative. He's like, I don't know. Hey, yeah. which one of you got my blood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how? So Gus gets up, Gus walks in and he tells Jesse it's time to go.
Yeah.
You know, what about Mike? You know, here he's going to be at least gone for a week, down for a week. We'll send for him.
Yeah.
You know,
Mike needed to be shot in the gut and out of commission for a week, like functionally for the plot.
Yes. He would have seen through all this stuff that's going to happen.
Yes.
So
yeah,
nice little coincidence here. Gus grabs Eladio's chain, hugs the doctor, and then for some reason they're going to walk 6 miles.
Yes.
I don't understand why they can't drive a little bit closer to it. Yeah. Like the doctor says, you know, drink lots of water, lots of rest. Mm-hmm. And he's immediately going to go on a pretty serious hike.
Yeah.
You know, I can do 6 miles. Like, it's not like undoable, but not after being poisoned. It takes a blood transfusion.
Takes a while and you're in the desert. Like,
yeah,
it's seems rough.
It's weird. You know, they can't take the plane out. I love this line where Gus says, you know, there are many ways into Mexico, but unfortunately there's only one way back.
I also like Jesse's line. I liked the plane.
Yeah. I liked the plane. And they're going to have a long, awkward walk.
Is
the idea. Just imagine 6 miles with Gus Fring, and Gus says, you know, you handle yourself really well back there. I think you can run the lab by yourself. And Jesse's not an idiot. He sees what this means.
Yeah. Jesse says, you know, all right, well, you've got to let Walt go.
Just retire him. Don't kill him. Yeah. You know, just let him go. And Gus turns, gives him the steely gaze, you know, and says, you know, that won't work.
Mm-hmm.
Just says, then you've got a problem. And they walk offset for six awkward miles.
And we're not going to see Jesse until he is fully brought over. There are going to be new facts in between, but, you know, some persuasion happened over the course of this walk, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut over to a B plot here, which is rapidly approaching collision with the A plot.
Yes.
Skylar walks into the house with Holly and checks the phone messages.
Holly alert. It's been a minute. It's been a season since we've seen Holly, but the baby is still extant.
Yep. And adorable. She's playing with Skylar's necklace and like putting it in her mouth, you know, just incredible baby behavior that she rolled with and they decided to throw in.
Good baby.
Ted, he's left a message saying, you know, I've thought about this. I can't pay the IRS. And this is another emergency, despite how much she has told him he needs to. She's got to go over.
Yep. Ted answers the door. He immediately heads over. Trips over a loose rug. I don't like that touch.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's always bothered me. I don't think that's needed foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Rugs just do this.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. Chekhov's rug is stupid to me. Mm-hmm. Skylar's there, you know, and we get through the implication here that she's told him the gambling story. That is how she is sold, that she is possibly under investigation as well.
Right.
You know, but Ted says, you know, I thought long and hard about it, gives her a check for less than she gave him.
Yes.
You know, and he says, I can't do this. I can't pay my IRS money with illicit gambling winnings. That feels wrong. I wanted to ask you about this scene.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go through it. And then I wanted to chat about it for a second.
So yeah.
Finish recounting.
Mm-hmm. And she says, you know, well, Ted, the whole reason we're in this mess is because you had me cooking your books. So when did wrong suddenly become a problem for you? You know, Skylar is having trouble navigating this, you know, sudden establishment of, you know, a moral line.
Yeah, like a boundary here.
Yeah.
You know, Ted says, no, it's different. I was trying to keep my company afloat. Also, one mistake isn't made better by another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Skylar says, listen, this is the mistake. This writing this check back to me. I will go to prison. My husband will go to prison. You will already be there where you will already be. and Ted still, you know, says like, listen, I'm not going to go to prison.
Right.
You know, that's not how things work. You know, the paying this fine doesn't end things. Like I'm still going to owe the bank. Basically, you know, my life is screwed.
Yes.
You know, kind of regardless. And Skylar says, oh my God, like you're bribing me or you're blackmailing me through this. You are trying to get more money out of me. So not only can you get out of debt, but you can get kind of a fresh start.
Right. So you can reestablish your lifestyle.
Yes.
Yeah. Get out of that Geo Metro permanently. You know, like, okay, so what you're saying is this is not enough. You know, you would be better with more. And Ted says, this isn't about amounts. This is about doing the right thing. You know, Skylar can't comprehend, you know, she sees the blackmail in this, you know.
Yes.
This is when she points out like, hey, this is less money. You know, I'm going to do your best. I'll make it right because of the car.
Because of the car. You know, those leases are ironclad, but I'll see what I can do. You know, folksy Christopher Cousins here.
Yeah.
Here. And Skylar says, I don't want that amount paid. Brings his checkbook to him and says, write a check to the IRS now.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted says, what happened to us? Still kind of maybe thinking this has something to do with their fallout, their feelings, of which she has really never had for him.
Right.
This is not the first person to say this, but like Skyler abuses Ted pretty bad in this show.
Yeah.
Ted sucks. He should do the thing. He shouldn't have cooked the books, but she uses him to get back at Walt and then ultimately gets him this fate.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's Ted's is a tragic story. It is a Farrelly Brothers farce that, that ultimately is very tragic. Yeah.
Yes.
Skylar says, hey, here's what you have to do. And said, I don't have to do anything.
Yep.
And then Skylar's in the car making a call to Saul. Like, all right, we've got to,
we've tried the carrot.
Yeah. We need to escalate. So is what you're asking me. Going to ask me, is Ted actually trying to blackmail her?
How do you read the scene? Because it's interesting. In the past, I have never read it as he's doing that. Mm-hmm. I've always thought, the interpretation I like is that Skylar, now that she's deeper in it, is projecting.
Yeah.
Everyone is playing the game against her. Like, this is Walt and Saul rubbing off on her.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to see, I realized, I just kind of assumed that was what it was. I never talked to anybody about it or anything.
Yeah.
Like, how do you read this?
I read it as he is not trying to blackmail her. I think that Ted's entire characterization is his gormlessness, not an atom of gorm in the man. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that goes through and through. When the pressure is up, when the A-team comes, he is still extremely golly gee shucks about it.
Yes.
Which I would think that, if somebody is actually trying to run a scheme, run a game, they would either kind of break the mask and be like, all right, we all know what this is, right? Just, you tell her. Or he would panic more than he actually does.
Yeah, be a little bit more canny, or have taken a precaution,
yes,
or something like that. That's basically how I read it as well. But I've looked online, and some people do, they're like, think that he is being a scumbag. Yeah. I like the interpretation that Skylar is seeing scumbags now.
That's
now that she's had that they live glasses put on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the world.
Yeah. I think that this is, Skylar is fundamentally changed and morally compromised. And just like the confusion about Ted setting a moral boundary,
yes,
like her thinking, well, there has to be more to that, because so much of my conception of morality, from you don't smoke pot to you don't take meth money from a murderer, has been compromised. I can't understand actually making that stand. Right.
Yeah.
Something else to it.
It's a great corruption arc. It's the same thing that Walt does. If I can talk and make this fix this, it also mirrors something that happens to Kim in Better Call Saul. Kim starts as a little bit more on the slippery path, but when you start seeing her play the game a little bit and then ultimately duck out of it, and redeem, it's a really nice character parallel.
Yeah,
get to Better Call Saul.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't think he is.
No, not my Christopher Cousins.
Not my good sweet my good sweet simple boy.
not Ted.
Yeah, and also the tax evasion thing, I don't know that was his scheme. I think he kept his dad's scheme going. I don't think that business was ever, talks about this is the account. We just floated it. I think that he was solving backward from we're solvent. He only recently got the business.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We love Ted on this podcast.
I'm
not joking. I'm saying Ted's motivations make a lot of sense. Contrast him with Walt, keeping a whole company in business makes sense. He's got employees, and when you see him in the company, his employees all love him, and he likes them.
Yeah.
It seems like it is a healthy thing. It is a weird other angle of the economic horror of Breaking Bad that Walt, gets laid low by chance, gets laid low by cancer, and because of our horrible institutions, cannot recover from this. Beneke Fabrications didn't really do anything. It was just trying to run a company where people had regular jobs, and that doesn't work either.
Yeah.
And that can still lead to this downfall.
Yeah.
That he gets.
I would say like not paying your taxes is bad, but like in terms of the grand scheme of the show, you know, him inheriting this and then just trying to keep it going through, I think, a sense of impunity, but also a sense of duty, and having all of that ruined again by the fucking radioactive influence of Walter White, you know, is very in line with the show broadly, I think.
I'm not saying, I'm not saying that like not paying your taxes is victimless behavior. No.
Yeah,
obviously, but just it was for a good reason.
Yes. No,
you know, and remains for a good reason. Unlike Walt, who starts for a good reason and then eventually becomes because he liked it and he's good at it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got over to the nursing home where Hector is watching the climactic scene from Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Mm-hmm.
and Gus comes over, to gloat. Mm-hmm. This is a delicious scene. This is a huge mistake. Gus shouldn't do this.
Nope.
It gives Walt his in, but it is delicious, especially after watching Better Call Saul and hating Hector more than I hated Hector before. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck the Salamancas. They're gone now.
Yeah.
You know, the whole cartel. Fuck this cartel. Yeah.
He deserves to die sad and angry. Right.
Yep.
And it is kind of unforgivable that Walt does give him a bit of a, final satisfaction.
It's right? true.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's here to gloat, saying like, hey, here's Don Eladio's chain, right? And then lists off all of the Salamancas that have been killed.
All the capos.
Yeah. And you're like, hey, your entire family's gone down, you know, saying, do you know who shot Joaquin? And then he turns Hector over, you know, and then turns him around to look at Jesse, who was just standing on the door, like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Why did Jesse come here? Do you think they came directly from Mexico?
I don't know.
And that's why Jesse's here?
Yeah.
That's one of the things that bothered me when I was watching this. I was like, it seems like Jesse would go home and get some sleep.
Yeah.
You know, but no, they walked directly to the nursing home.
Yeah. But turns around and says, you know, that young man shot Joaquin to death while I made my escape. I believe you have met him before. Yeah, obviously, Hector remembers him from the Tuco thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and you know, basically lays it out. Now the Salamanca name dies with you. Will you look at me now? You know, have I earned your respect to look at me? This is your game.
Yeah.
You know, blood for blood. I've done the best blood for blood.
Yes.
You know, but Hector is just staring furiously at Jesse.
Yeah.
And they leave, and Jesse presumably again, what the fuck was that about? And we don't get to see the conversations that Jesse's having after these scenes. Yeah.
It's never explained to him. He just like later when Jesse gives Walt in, it's like, yeah, he took me where some old guy was. There's not
it was
even
weird.
Yeah. So Walt goes to pick up Hank for another stakeout, thinking they're going to the factory farm again or, you know, for something else. And he asks, he follows up about that massacre in Mexico with all the bodies. Yeah. And Hank has nothing new. He just gives him directions. We're going to a different place. And the look of dawning realization on Walt's face as he goes on, he's familiar. Oh, this is my drive to work.
Yeah. It's very funny. You know, he's like, listen, there's this industrial laundry that he has as well. And Walt's like, I don't know. He goes, well, it's owned by Madrigal, you know, and Madrigal also provided that industrial air filter.
Yeah. Thing.
And Walt says, I don't know, Hank, this seems like a shot in the dark. Really, the farm was going to pay off. The farm is good.
We were just about.
It's so funny. We were just about to see some farm crime. It's great.
Yeah. And Hank, again, with the 70s reference shit, he says, look at you. You lose your hair, go on a couple of stakeouts. What are you, Kojak?
Yeah. Yeah.
Making these wild leaps. Well, we really should go back to the farm. Maybe I was going to see a duck.
I love it. It's great.
Hank says, well, Gail Bedecker accepted delivery of a Madrigal air filter at this location. So
yeah.
It's starting to feel like 3 days of the Condor.
Yeah. It's all adding up.
Yeah.
He's having fun detective times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hank tells Walt where to turn and Walt drives past it. You know, just goes past the thing. And you can see him thinking in real time, like panicking.
Uh-huh.
It's really great.
I'm sorry. It looked like a dirt road.
Yeah.
It's just like, my shirt fell off.
Yeah. You dropped your pocket. It was literally the way to go into the laundry.
You're in the middle of the city.
Yeah, it's great. You know, so Hank goes, no, you missed it, you idiot. You know, do a U-turn here. And Walt does, but he does it right into traffic.
Yeah.
And gets the car hit here. Pretty risky. Not just in terms of himself, but also his brother, his recently semi-paralyzed brother-in-law.
Yeah, yeah. His convalescing brother-in-law. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Hank's back at home, lying in bed with a neck brace. You know, you all took this U-turn. Hank's side of the car got the brunt of it.
It's nasty.
Also ripped the Aztec. I think this is the last we see of the Aztec.
Boo.
Yeah.
They get there. We get a little bit of Junior time. Junior apologizes because Skylar got frozen yogurt. She says it tastes the same. Junior says, no, it doesn't. I burst into the room Kool-Aid man style and say, they both taste good. They don't taste the same. They serve completely different purposes.
Get you different idiots, flavors.
You fools.
Chocolate frozen yogurt, not that great. You like a raspberry frozen yogurt? Amazing. Quite good. You
don't entirely treat different it like toppings.
It's a different, yeah.
It's a different thing, different toppings, different ordering experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you doing, Junior?
Yeah. And they're
stick
all
to breakfast.
Do not
stick to breakfast, bitch. Don't come into my house.
And they're all inferior to frozen custard. So
it's 100% true.
Yeah.
So Walt comes in, he's got a bandage on his nose. And he's like, yeah, sorry again, that guy came out of nowhere. And Hank's like, no, you could see him a mile away. This is also a funny thing. Cause like, obviously Hank could suspect something. I've only gotten into one car accident and I basically did what Walt did.
Uh-huh.
Like I just didn't see a car that was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was driving for work and just hit a car that was, they had the right of way. It was my fault.
Mm-hmm.
I just, my brain fucking blanked him.
Yep. No, same here. Like I got T-boned. It was basically the exact same thing. It was during a left turn instead of a U-turn, but I didn't see the car because it came out from behind a semi.
Yeah.
It
happens.
Not the only car accident I've been in, but definitely the worst. Yeah.
And Hank says basically, Marie says, okay, well, your investigations are over now. And Hank goes, no, it's fine. Like mm-hmm. I've basically ordered this SUV. It has hand controls and stuff. I can just do this on my own.
Yes.
I can still work. I'm sorry I was leaning on you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And Walt has never had a plan.
No.
For dealing with Hank. He said he was going to deal with Hank and all he could do is delay him while he could try to think of one.
Mm-hmm.
But because he's been having drama with his surrogate son, he hasn't really been doing that.
No, no.
You know, you get the sense that Walt is like treading water.
Mm-hmm.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skylar gets a call and has to go out into the hallway to talk to Saul, saying like, all right, well, we've checked. Ted doesn't own a gun. His home security system doesn't have a panic button. You don't have to worry about this. It's going to be fine. I've got my A team on it.
It's great. Yeah, very good. And we go to the A team. Kubi and Huel knock on Ted's door and Kubi just comes in.
Yeah.
Kubi just comes in, and Ted, feckless Ted.
Uh-huh.
Like, what are you guys doing? I just.
Yeah. This is about keeping Huel happy. Huel, are you happy? Reasonably.
Yeah, I love it. Reasonably.
And what would make you unhappy? This little motherfucker not doing what he's told.
It's great. And I love Kubi, who's being very personable here.
Yeah. Yeah.
He goes, listen, let's go over to your checkbook. You're going to write a check for this amount,
mm-hmm.
Make it payable to the IRS.
Yeah.
And Ted starts putting it together. And this is very tragic.
Yeah.
He's like, who sent you? Does Skylar do this? We're very close friends. This is a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like this has escalated in a way that he did not expect.
Didn't figure that the gambling connection, quote unquote, would involve actual tough guys.
Yeah. Huels.
Yeah. Huels. Knee breakers. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Crusher and low blow.
Yeah. I mean, to his mind. Right. I don't think either Kubi or Huel or knee breakers.
They crush nothing.
They've
never landed a low blow. It's not how they work.
Yeah, they're con men and they're it's a pickpocket.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, all right, it's phone call time's over. It's check writing time. And Ted writes out the check. And Kubi gets a signature saying, like, all right, we've got these other forms already signed. We just need your John Hancock on here for the tax payment. And I'm going to go and drop off the check. I'm going to come back and we're going to hang out until the check clears.
I'm going to come back with sandwiches.
Yeah.
We're going to hang out for a couple days until the check clears. We're going to play cards. We're going to watch TV, And here's where Huel is not being the A team. Because Huel just immediately starts reading a magazine. there's a lot in this based on the physicality of Huel.
Yes.
Just being terrifying.
Uh-huh.
And I have a hard time finding Huel terrifying.
Yes.
You know, a big guy or anything, but they are really just kind of, I think that Saul on some level is very scared of Huel and uses him as thus.
Yeah.
So, you know, Kubi gets up, Huel's just reading a magazine, and Ted gets spooked and makes a run for the phone.
Yes.
For the kitchen. However, Chekhov's rug strikes again. He slips on that rug, slides headfirst into the kitchen island.
It's brutal.
Absolutely brutal. The worst kind of injury, you know. Slides, compresses his neck, breaks his spine. We just see him lying there, his pinky twitching.
Yeah.
As some oranges fall on him.
Right. So much hay was made at the time, again, on the Something Awful forums. People were like, they saw oranges on the table and they're like, oh, it's a Godfather thing. Whenever there are oranges, somebody's about to die. Like,
that's, you know, so stupid.
Yeah. We're left here. We're left here with him, you know, twitching. They're like, oh, he's totally dead. There were oranges. He's dead.
Oranges. Again, Vince Gilligan doesn't do this bullshit.
No.
Like, just, you know, that's lesser writers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to do that.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the most interesting thing if he died. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't get that great scene of him, like, in traction.
Yeah. Completely, you
know,
all
he's scared of, you know, yeah. Absolutely scared as shit of Skyler. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So Walt is wheeled into work in a clothing cart. this is how he has to get in now because Hank knows about the laundry.
Mm-hmm.
And I love him getting out of it undignified, asking Tyrus. He goes, did the laundry have to be dirty? And Tyrus goes, no. just a little. I love with what they're going to do to him. This is such a little kick in the teeth.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. So down in the lab, Walt inspects the gear. You know, he puts his hand on one of the vessels and like, hey, this is warm. Somebody cooked here while I was gone. Tyra says, well, you were gone for 4 days. Do you expect us just to let this, you know, go, you know? And yeah, like, yes. it's terrible.
That is what Walt expected.
Yeah.
This is mine.
Yeah, he asks like, hey, who cooked? And Tyra's just, you know, just smiles, right? Like, ah, yeah. Oh, you're putting it together. You know that the plan's advanced.
Yep. We cut over Jesse playing Sonic 06 with Brock and Andrea. They're having so much fun.
Yeah.
Playing Sonic 06. I don't know if that's one of the good ones.
But. And Unreal. It's notoriously one of the most terrible, actually. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I may have even played on Epic Suffering. The later Sonic post 2000, those all run together too.
Yeah.
I understand there are good and bad ones, but I don't care.
We have not done Sonic 06 because that it's locked on that generation that you can't emulate. And also getting physical stuff for Epic Suffering is
annoying and expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, shout out to Brock.
Yes.
Brock, this kid is very cute.
Yeah.
Walt knocks on the door, you know, and Jesse just like, you know, how fucking dare you
come back here after what you said to me?
Yeah. I don't have anything to say to you. And Walt begs. So Jesse takes him outside and starts kind of shoving him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, get the fuck out of here. You know, like you here. Walt, you know, says, listen, I know you've been cooking without me. And Jesse fires back, so the fuck what? You know, like, go to hell, man.
Mm-hmm. And Walt's like, you know, this is killing me. You're killing me, you know. And just Jesse counters like, oh, well, you almost got me basically killed. You've got the DEA. You brought your DEA agent brother-in-law to our lab. You know, like, what the fuck were you thinking?
You know, Walt says, help me. And Jesse says, the last time I asked for your help, you said, I hope you end up buried in a barrel in the Mexican desert.
Yeah.
You know, shoves him again, basically just saying, you know, do not, we're done.
Yeah.
Walt turns to his car and then Tyrus is there and creepy Watson up to him.
This is so fucking funny.
It's really good. And they didn't need to do this.
No.
Tyrus is just having fun.
Yeah.
During the scene,
he's not even
getting his revenge.
He's not even getting paid for this right now.
No,
he's not tracking those hours.
Fraud. Like, this is, he brought that from home. And zaps Walt.
Uh-huh.
It's not the most inconspicuous way you could take somebody and put him in a car.
In the middle of a neighborhood? No.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, zaps him with the prod.
You never know when there's going to be a Gladys Kravitz just looking out.
Yep. Yeah.
So, abrupt cut to Walt in the desert. You know, with Tyrus and the random guy. I don't know who the other guy is who's there.
Goon.
goon.
One of Mike's guys.
Hired goons. Yeah. And, you know, Walt's on his knees in the desert with his bag over his head. Bad times.
Yep.
Gus arrives and yanks the bag off. Walt get his bearings. And we get, I mean, one of the most bone-chilling scenes
of Gus really
dialogue.
You know, I love how he makes him wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for him to show up. And he basically, you know, you are done. You're fired. Do not show your face to the laundry again. Stay away from Pinkman. Do not go near him ever.
Yeah.
And Walt still thinks he has a play at this point.
Yeah.
You know, he goes, or what? You know, and eventually he says, you know, gets out, or else you'll do what?
Mm-hmm.
And Gus is furious.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how dare you question this? This is me being merciful.
Yeah. Like,
not killing you now is a favor to our mutual friend.
Yes. He's not just furious. The look on his face of just outright confusion. Like, what the fuck did you just say to me?
Yeah.
He's
riding high. He also just took out his lifelong enemies.
Yes.
You know, this is the best time of Gus's life. He's entering into his second act. He's peaking.
Yeah.
Here, you know, compare with season 5, Walt, once he gets his over Gus and mm-hmm. how he acts,
yeah.
you know, both these men at the height of their power, when they've both just done a big move,
yeah.
kind of gain these blind spots.
Yeah. They're blood drunk.
Yeah.
I love this, you know, like after the, or else you'll do what? And it's like, you know, what, the shot pulls out to a long shot. Yeah, one of these awesome, just huge desert shots with, you know, the tiny people kind of off in the distance, and you see a cloud, like you see the shadow of a cloud just pass over the entire scene for just a beat. Yeah. It's great.
It's real good.
And Walt says, "If you could kill me, I'd already be dead, but you can't. You can't kill me because Jesse wouldn't cook for you if you did. That's it, isn't it?"
Yeah. And Gus does a really good deflection.
Yeah.
He goes, you know, for now, but he'll come around.
Mm-hmm.
And then because Walt is technically right, you know, at this point, he turns things to a different mm-hmm. angle. You know, but your brother-in-law is a problem. It's mm-hmm. a problem you promised to handle and you didn't. So now I will handle it. And, you know, Walt starts a protest and he says, you know, if you try to interfere, this becomes a much simpler matter. I will kill your wife. I will kill your son. I will kill your infant daughter. You know, just very cold ass shit.
Yeah.
Super good. I've been, YouTube has served me a couple of Giancarlo Esposito interviews
mm-hmm.
and the man's a treasure.
Yep.
And he tells funny stories about people being scared of him in public because of this kind of shit. And it's real cute.
Yeah. terrible thing to say.
Yeah. You know, you can kill an infant.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the worst things you can kill.
Yeah. But this, this is the thing that forces Walt's hand here, yeah. in addition to everything and else.
Fucking stupid of Walt not to realize for Walt to have made this play, they're like, or you'll do what?
Mm-hmm.
You can't kill me. And it's like, well, do you really think that Jesse cares about killing Hank?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you have collateral. Spider-Man yes. rules.
Yeah.
You know, people know your secret identity, dumb shit. So Gus gets in the car. Tyrus cuts Walt's bonds and leaves him. He's actually, his car's out here. They drove his car.
Oh, okay.
I thought they left him as well just to walk, but the rental car he drove up to Jesse's is here.
Okay.
So that's why the other guy was there, was to drive Walt's car.
Yeah. Logistics.
Yeah.
Yeah. So back at Saul's office, Saul's debriefing with Kuby and Yule.
You know, great.
I told you. I told her you were my A-team. It was an act of God.
I love you. I was like, ain't no counting for an act of God. Yeah, really, really good. But Walt bursts in, you know, just as Saul is about to call Skyler.
Yeah.
And this is great. This little bit of confusion. This whole time he's been a little bit scared because he just gave all of Walt's money to Ted Beneke.
Yeah.
Which he could probably guess. You know, he knows that she's getting the deep down and dirty. You know, so that this would not be a thing, but they've been doing it on the down low.
Yes.
You know, I have some sympathy for Saul during this whole thing being kind of, you know, having two masters.
Yeah.
He thinks he heard about Ted Beneke getting donked, but he's not.
Right.
He saw Gus's thing as a immediate threat.
Yeah.
You know, Gus was not going to kill him immediately, but he was going to make him let Hank get killed, and he wasn't going to do that.
Right.
So he's thinking a couple moves ahead. I need to save Hank. That is going to make Gus kill my family.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go.
Yeah. And he is here because he wants money. And he wants he wants the card. He wants the number, the instructions for the disappearer. Yeah. Like, you know, this is it. This is end times. We gotta go.
Yep. And Saul starts laying out the rules. You know, it's going to be expensive. You know, you're hot right now, four people, short notice, that's going to be the deluxe service. So it's going to be at least $500,000 for everybody. Mm-hmm. Gives him the card, you know, for this vacuum repair shop. And he says, no, you just call him. The guy will call you back in 5 minutes. Pro, he works quick. Mm-hmm. Make your family packed and ready before you get the call. A cute thing about this real vacuum part that's mm-hmm. on the back of this.
It's
no longer
vacuum.
In production. It's yeah. an actual vacuum. The part's no longer in production because people kept requesting it.
Yep.
People wanted to have it as a little bit of shelf candy, which uh-huh. I also would like. Uh-huh. But now they're expensive
yeah.
because it's a collector's item.
Yeah. No, I also went on eBay and I was looking yeah. for...
We're not made of stone.
Yeah, I know. All right.
Of course, we're going to try to do that. Yeah.
I'm curious, right? It started with checking to see if that vacuum was real.
Yeah. Yeah. And wanted to end with that vacuum on my shelf or that uh-huh. piece of a vacuum. That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it seems like this is goodbye. You know, it's all like, I can't say it's been a pleasure. I need you to do one more thing. You need to place an anonymous call to the DEA. You know, my brother-in-law doesn't deserve to die because of this.
Yeah. I love this, this negotiation mm-hmm. where Saul's like, no, like I'm already in enough trouble. I don't need Gus killing me.
You
know, and eventually, you know, yeah. he talks him down, you know, I'm not going to mention Fring,
mm-hmm.
you know, I will say the cartel is after him again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to get him into protection. So nobody can make a move. Right.
Yeah. And I love this, how stressful this episode is
mm-hmm.
from this point on as well. Like it's just been since he burst in the office, it's yeah. nonstop stress. you know, Walt says, you know, wait 1 hour so I can collect my wife and kids, and his voice kind of breaks.
Yep.
It's dawning on him what he's going to have to do
mm-hmm.
here. Rushes home, goes out in the crawl space to get his money, you know, God, I love this. Checks the garment bags and finds them open, and they have some cash.
Yes.
There's like some piddly amounts of cash in here.
Uh-huh.
This shot of Skylar leaning over the hole.
Oh, it's so good.
All of this is fucking incredible.
Her looking down, the expression on her face.
Yeah. Like it's so good. Everything here is perfect.
She never expected it. She just thought that there was going to be, they had too much money. She thought that it was going to keep coming in. Right.
Yep. Exactly.
Like, and you know, she comes home and is like, "Hey, what did that phone call mean? Like, well, like, what did you mean? Come here." And Walt asks, "Where's the rest of it? Eyes all red. You know, where is the money?" Screaming it, like just like clutching what's there, laying on his back, looking up through the crawl space trapdoor. Right.
Yeah.
And she just tearfully says, "I gave it to Ted."
And that is so dramatically perfect.
Uh-huh.
The worst possible thing you can do.
Uh-huh.
The worst possible person. It's not a betrayal. There's a reason for it. And she starts uh-huh. saying it, you know, oh, this is for the family. Please hear me out. But if in terms of just kind of like an on the face surface level betrayal,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing that would have more impact
yeah.
than this. Like, you know, maybe like I gave it to Gretchen.
Yeah.
You know, I donated it to gray matter. Like that would be rough. But this is the worst it could be.
Yes.
Like this is so awful. And Walt is confused by this at first and then starts laughing. Uh-huh. Screams, he howls, he's breaking. You know, perfect performance.
Yeah.
And just the cosmic joke of this.
Yes.
You know, I did all this, I've gone through everything. Now when I actually need my money, my wife has given it to the guy that she fucked.
Yeah.
To get back at me.
Yeah, and all Walt can do is laugh. This is Joker laughing.
You know? He's going to Joker laugh in the background of this entire scene. It's phenomenal because this would be a fine place to cut to credits.
Uh huh.
You know, but the phone has been ringing, which ramps up the tension.
Uh-huh.
You know, I love that. Over on the answering machine, we can hear Marie freaking out. The DA called. It's happening again.
Yeah.
Drums get louder. The cartel wants to kill Hank. They're going into lockdown while Walt's cackling in the background.
Yeah.
That sense of an alarm going off, or like a baby crying or a phone going off,
mm-hmm.
or like constant McDonald's alarms going off, like that kind of, you know, tension. You think about the Boogie Night scene with the guy doing the firecrackers.
Yep.
At random intervals. Like this is just masterfully done here.
Yeah. And yeah. Walt is still cackling, and you know, Skylar picks up, you know, needs to go address this because it's another emergency on top of it. She knows this has something to do with Walt, right? Yeah. And we get this episode ending on this, brilliantly composed shot of the camera slowly pulling back up. It's like a handheld pull up, but like what almost feels like it's going through the ceiling. Looking down on Walt framed in the crawl space door, and he finishes laughing because he's out of breath. And, you know, they're doing something with the, you know, with the focus, the depth of field, to just completely flatten this, as the camera gets further and further away with this horrible electronic screeching. It's a sound effect from like a sci-fi movie, back in the 50s or 60s. And Walt is just framed lying in the dirt. Like, this is his soul leaving his body.
Yep. Yeah. This is the lowest moment, for Walt. At this point, it's really, really rough stuff.
It's not just him. It's not just him who's dead. It is his entire family. You know, he set out to protect them and got everybody killed.
Yep. He fucked up, and this is going to drive him to new desperations that are going to form all kinds of silly bomb schemes. This is going to bring out the Wile E. Coyote, the road Wile E. Coyote in him.
Yeah. Again, hunched over bomb goblin.
Yeah. The bomb goblin Walt is coming out. great. I do remember watching this when it came out, man. Just fucking stomach on the floor.
I didn't breathe for like 3 minutes.
Yeah. It's so good. So fucking good. Looking forward to next episode as well. In a couple weeks. Thank you everybody for listening.
Thank you. Yeah. If you like this show, you can support us by going to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, kicking in some money, getting bonus shows, a whole bunch of bonus content. We think it's worth it.
Yeah. We really appreciate those who have. The only thing you can really do is tell your friends and check out our other shows.
Please.
That would be great of you. Also join us in thanking our producer, Gwen, who also composed the theme song. And until next time, I know we end a lot of episodes just saying don't do what Walt do.
Yeah.
In this one, I'm going to say don't play Sonic 06.
Yeah. There's no reason to.
Yeah. You can do better. Like, you're too good for modern Sonic.